So we've got three powerful men of God coming to bring a revelation to us this morning, an individual revelation. So we've got Ben Boswalker leading up this morning. Let's hear it for Ben. And Rick. Rick will be up next. Yay. Looking forward to hearing all of this. And Stuart. There you go. So can we give these guys a welcome? They may well be nervous. Are you nervous? I'm going to make them hold a microphone. I know you don't like it. You like to use your teacher's voice. But seriously, these are men of God. And you know what? I've asked, and I know these guys. And I know they hear from God. I know they are led by God. And so I've asked them to come this morning and just share something that is really special to their hearts this morning. So let's hear it for Ben. On you,
Ben. I'm just going to start in prayer this morning. Lord, I just pray that you can speak through myself, Rick, and Stuart this morning as we talk. And, yeah, that your wisdom is imparted through us to anyone who is listening. Amen. I'm going to start with a section of the Bible from Revelations. Revelations 21, 1 to 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." My favourite verse is verse 4 there, out of the whole Bible. "He will wipe away all the tears, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain." And I suppose this verse to me, I know Joe asked us to talk about what revelation we have from Jesus. And this verse to me sums up his purpose for coming to earth. He came to earth and died so that if and when we choose to believe in him, we can have a relationship with God in eternal life. And I suppose to me, this verse is the goal at the end of the race. Philippians states in 3:12-14, "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting about the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." And it's that last bit in the middle there. "I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." For me, life on earth does, and at times we all feel hurt, pain, death, mourning, and that is, as humans, our life on earth. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve ruined it for us, and we have to put up with that. But this verse promises that in the end, there'll be none of that. It'll just be, a place of no more pain or suffering. And I keep coming back to that verse. I've been asked many times what my favourite verse is in the Bible. It's never changed for the last 25 years or more. And while the Bible is a guide, a set of instructions for life, and Jesus taught us and is still teaching me many things on how I should live, and it shows us a way to move on, cope and deal and even heal in a broken world. And we are the old order of things, and that will pass away. And if we're focused on the end goal, we can then show people a hint of what that new world is. And to me, that is showing them what Jesus is. And that is what we're called to do. We're called to show Jesus to the world. We do that not just in the way, not just in talking about it, but also in the way we live. And we don't always reach that perfection, or I don't. There's many times where I've hurt, unfortunately, or caused pain in others. But Jesus, if we're focusing on not doing that, we're focusing on Jesus's rules, not rules, but his guidelines in the Bible that show us how not to do that or how to heal it. And yes, it is hard. it's hard to say sorry, forgive others at times. But for me, that whole verse is a promise of where I'll be one day, and I hope all of you will be joining me there. And it's a very simple process that involves your heart. You have to believe that Jesus came to die for you, that he beat death, and he rose up from the grave for us. And we have to give our life to him, repenting. And as a kid, that word repent meant I just said sorry and walked on. But I've grown from that. And it's not just, it is in the simplest way, it is saying sorry, but it's also making an effort to change our old ways to Jesus' way of life so we don't keep doing the same thing that hurts him. And it seems an easy decision to make, and it was, I think, for me in the beginning. But the challenge was staying on the course. And that's where this verse to me brings me back, because it shifts to me looking at where I want to be and what in the end and where I'd like the world to be. And we have to focus on Jesus at the centre for that to get there. And I just wanted to talk a bit about why I chose that verse with a bit more. Many, many years ago, around 1997, I went to uni studying an engineering degree. And I spent that time chasing a whole lot of things that would make me happy and content. Even though I professed to be a Christian at the time and was in a Bible study, and one of the more knowledgeable people, I knew in my head what it was. And there was a lot of things that didn't work out at that time. And while I was at uni, I mean, I'll say God hit me over the head with a 4x2, but that's a different story. And I realised that I shouldn't be chasing earthly things. I needed to focus on God. And that's when that verse probably really cemented to me as my favourite verse. I just want to say that there will be a new heaven and earth with no more death, mourning, crying or pain. I can't get there by myself, but with Jesus I'll be there one day and every day. Hopefully we'll make it easier with him. And I just pray that, I know pretty, I think almost everyone in the room, and I know where their heart lies, and I pray that you just keep that focus of wanting to be in heaven with God at the end. And I just pray that we'll all be there one day and see each other with him. And thank you.
Revelations. We've had lots of revelations over our life and lifespan. I was just thinking, his mercies are new every morning. Every day is a new revelation when you look around. It's just an amazing. A verse I want to read is a verse that meant a lot to us as a family when we were in Hawaii doing a YWAM course. And was spoken over our children and over us. And they've always been comforting to me when I look at our life's journey, and they're always close to the surface. I'll read them. It's in Jeremiah 31. The Lord, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with... Sorry. Very special. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. Again, you should take up your tambourines. I look at that verse often, and I've got this Butte Bible. It's got Hebrew and Greek in the back of it, and I like to dig deeper when I look at verses. So I'll just look at this verse, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Particularly loved, the word loved. In Hebrew, it loved, he says, he delights, he desires us, he is fond of us, he has strong emotional attachment to us, and he likes us. So my recent revelation is that God likes me. He loves me, and he also likes me, which is just amazing. Psalm 18:19 says, he delighted in me. And I looked up the Hebrew again. It says, it means he likes someone very much. Not just very much, but very, very much. Now, Jesus said in John 15:15, I've called you my friends if you do what I command you. And friends are open. They accept us, warts and all. Nothing is hidden to Jesus. As the Father spoke to Jesus and Jesus made it known to his disciples, there was openness and honesty in his presence. He knows what you are thinking anyway, before we even speak it. And I love that Psalm 139. He says that. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. That's amazing. Okay. For this revelation to me was very releasing, that he likes me. We can be comfortable in his presence. I can now approach God as his friend. He loves you and he likes you. Now friends are looking at the aspect of friends. Friends love to be around each other. They care for one another. They think of their friends often. To put this in perspective, how often does God think of us? And in Psalm 139 again, it says, how precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So I put some sand in a little jar here. You can start counting those, Joe, if you like. And even that concept is just amazing, that his thoughts are always with us. He's always on our case, so to speak. The psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. God, he names all the stars and keeps them in place. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all that moves in the field. If a sparrow falls to the ground, he knows about it. He knows how many hairs are on your head. That's a bit of a worry for some. There's a psalm that we used to sing. I won't sing it. Fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies, and the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. Knowing all this, how great he is, he still desires our friendship because he likes you. He really likes your company. And he wants intimacy with you. Again, he likes you. That's all I've got to say about that.
How awesome are these guys?
Yeah.
How awesome is our God?
Amen.
Okay, we'll just open up in prayer. I've got to put my glasses on. Dear Lord, we thank you for this great day you have given us. Let us all now focus on your word. And Lord, we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, a few weeks ago, Pastor Joe asked me if I would like to get up out of my safe seat here at church. That's my words, not hers. And talk to you about what Jesus said and how this has impacted my life. Normally I'd have about 10 excuses not to do this. Then I'd go away and hide under a rock or something like that. That would have happened about 5 years ago. But now the Lord has given me the strength to face my fears of getting up in front of my brothers and sisters. Yes, I'm still shaking in my boots, but now I know I am being faithful to God and He will look after me and use me as one of His loyal servants. I'm going to talk to you today about what Jesus said. We will start from Luke 10:2. As Ben was saying, that's his favourite, one of his favourite verses, and same as Rick, well, this is mine, which says, He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest field. Now let's stop there. What does this mean? The harvest is plentiful. Let's call this Oberon. Jesus is saying that there is plenty of people out there who are ripe for picking. They're crying out for help. They're struggling in their day-to-day activities. They're doing it tough. They need love. They need a hug. They need Jesus in their lives. Now, Jesus also said the workers are few, meaning us. We already have been saved through the grace of God, but the lost need to hear about Jesus. Yes, there are a few getting around town doing what Jesus said to do, but there is not enough of us doing what Jesus said. Why are we silent? Are we scared of what people will think of us? It's about time the works have become plentiful. Lord, let us become an army for You, not fearing anything but You. Your love for us is endless. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your works. And the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. And Isaiah 48:17, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Can we have that picture up, please? It's up, okay. I've been a Christian for around 40 years, and I've had plenty of ups and downs, believe me. Years ago, I was having a bad day at work. Everything was just an effort. Things were going wrong. I arrived home and just sat down. And then Jesus spoke to me. Stuart, I will hold your hand and lead you to the promised land. Also, He showed me Bible verses. Jesus told me to get on my knees and to repent and ask for forgiveness. The Bible verses were Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them always pray and not to give up. And Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Also, Jesus told me, stop being idle. Don't assume you are safe. Don't sit on your laurels. Keep moving forward. Don't wait for Him. He needs to be able to trust us. Jesus told me to go out and serve the community. Use my gifts and to share this with my fellow brothers and sisters at church and form Working with God community projects. He told me and Nerida would be involved in this as well. I was overwhelmed that Jesus had spoken to me and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Nerida and I did what Jesus told us to do. This was and still is a successful ministry, now starting up at Oberon. Since then, Jesus has shown me another vision. This includes all churches in Oberon to form an army to go out and work together, just starting off with one day a year. Then Jesus said this, Let all the churches in Australia to go out in their communities one day a year to help the needy and lost, to clean up these areas, e.g. properties, similar to Clean Up Australia Day. This is a massive task. I have spoken to Pastor Joe about this, how to approach this. We need help to be obedient to our Lord to get this happening. Now let's first start off with working as a church in the Oberon area and beyond. Every one of us has a gift given to us from God. We need to use these gifts. If you do not know what gift you have, ask God to reveal it to you. Romans 12, 6-8 says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If our gift is prophesying, let us use it in proportion to our faith. If it is serving, let us serve. If it is teaching, let us teach. If it is encouraging, let us encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let us give generously. If it is leadership, let us govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let us do it cheerfully. We are all different. The body is a unit which is made up of many parts. And all parts are many. They form one body with Jesus at the head. Imagine what this body could do when we are all functioning together. I feel we all have been idle too long. We must do what God is telling us to do." Now Jeremiah 7:8 says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Help us all to be like this tree." God tells us even with a little bit of faith, we can move mountains. Help us all to grow in faith so we can smash through these mountains. And when we get to the other side, you will lead us to the promised land. Look, I am no saint. I am not the sharpest tool in the shed. I still go out on the limb of the tree doing what I think is right. Then all of a sudden, that limb will break and I'll come crashing down to the ground. But who is at the bottom of the tree to pick me up? It's Jesus. He dusts me off. He holds my hand and leads me back to where I should be. He loves us so much. We still go off doing what we want without praying and reading God's word and giving it all to the Lord. We know that our God is always in control. But through all this, he is our Father in heaven and still loves us so much, he gave us his one and only Son. Lord, you tell us in Matthew 7:7-8, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be open." And in Matthew 5:3-10, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we thank you for the unity in this church and the love for each other. Send us out this week to be alert and ready for answers to the non-believers' questions, and be bold and invite them to church so they too can receive God's love and forgiveness. I find this church and all of our brothers and sisters mature Christians who love one another and are growing in faith and love the Lord. It's a privilege and honour that Nerida and I worship here, and we thank God daily for our move to Oberon. Remember this Bible verse daily from Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I'll close in prayer now with some verses from a song from The Afters, "Well Done." This was written for Billy Graham, who passed away last year. "Lord, what will be like when our pain is gone? and all the worries of this world just fade away. What will it be like when you call out our names and that moment when we see you face to face? We're waiting our whole lives to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where we belong. Well done, my beloved child. You have run the race and now you're home. Welcome to the place where you belong. What will it be like when we come into your glory, standing in the presence of a love so beautiful? What will it be like when we hear that sound? All of heaven's angels crying out, singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well done. Let us all grow in faith and to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Word, thank you. Sorry. Good word. Good words. We're going to get that song and listen to it. That sounds fantastic. But can I just thank you guys, and can I just say, did you guys get together and plan this? You didn't, did you? I know, and this is why I love it so much, because there was this beautiful theme woven through, which just so proves that God is speaking to us. And I mean, I was taking copious notes, and I'll be listening to the podcast and taking more notes, but it just had this theme of God loves us so much no matter what, didn't it? And Ben reminded us of God's intention for us and his reward for us and his ultimate purpose. He reminded us that Adam and Eve got something to answer for. But here, you know, and then after that, then Rick gets up and reminds us of how much God loves us no matter what. He intimately knows us. He knows our thoughts before we even speak them. So yeah, Ben says, here's God's intention. This is the way it was supposed to be. This God, and what we ultimately have, our ultimate reward. Then Rick reminds us that God loves us, because, you know, we could go, oh yes, but I'm undeserving. But then Rick, and then Stuart gets up and stirs us to action and brings us right back to the beginning of where it was just like God orchestrates these things. He is not distant from us, as Rick pointed out. Just, I love it. How good is God? And thank you guys for being obedient and hearing from him and bringing the word that he placed on your hearts. And I think we'll do this again. What do you reckon? Several times. We have so many quality people in this church. You all hear from God. And I think we'll start a series called This Is My Story. And I'll be chatting with you. Let's hear each other's stories and the wonderful things that God has done and is doing in and through us. Amen? And how about that vision for the nationwide? Can you imagine? But you're right, we start here. We start here. We do it well in our church, and then we do it well in our community, and then we show the others how you can do it as a community. But you know how Clean Up Australia Day gained traction? I love that vision that God's placed in your heart. Imagine if the churches all got together and suddenly the nation would take notice of, oh my goodness, that's powerful. Let's pray that in. Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you for bold vision, Lord God. I thank you that you are starting something here in Oberon that is exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything we could ever hope, dream or imagine, because that's what you do. And Father God, I thank you, and I just pray that we won't take any of this as a burden. We won't try and do this in our own strength, but Holy Spirit, you will guide us and direct us, and you will open the doors, and you will make it easy. And so Father, I thank you for these wonderful men. I thank you for the word that they spoke this morning that will take root in good soil, because your word promises it will not return void, but it will produce that which you've sent it forth to do. And so, Father, I pray that we remember what you've called us to, how much you love us, and you will empower us to do all you've called us to, and our wonderful reward that you have waiting for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good word, guys. Good word. All right, well, I think Sue Ellen's out We've got musos here. Can we do a song? Come on, let's do a song. Someone go and get Sue Ellen, quick. I think we'll just do the creed. Just that I believe. I believe in God our Father.